I'm speaking today with Jill Gentry, Director of Development for the Food Depot, which in 2012 distributed enough food to provide 5 million meals. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Jill.
Hi, thank you.
So just recently, New Mexico garnered another first place, this time for being number one in the nation for child hunger. That means that more children are hungry per capita in New Mexico than in any other state, about 30%, right? So, Jill, how did this happen?
It's actually, unfortunately, a title that we've held before. So this isn't our first time at the top. What we tended to see was prior to 2009, we had been up in the top ranks of childhood food insecurity for quite some time. And then during the recession, we saw other states catch up to where we had been, unfortunately. And now that there's been a little bit of a bounce back economically, we're seeing New Mexico right up at the top of the scales again at 30.6%.
And how is this measured? You won't talk a lot about missing meals, but how is that determined?
Missing meals are basically the gap or the shortfall between where a family's income and governmental assistance like SNAP or food stamps and emergency food assistance like that given by food pantries through food banks. The gap that's left are the meals that could potentially be missed or are missed by different individuals within a family.
So we're really assuming that they're being missed based on their income levels.
Absolutely. We know for a fact you can put a valuation on how much an average meal costs based on economic conditions and based on a family's income and the amount of support they receive. There's a mathematical equation that can break down how likely and how quickly a family is apt to run out of food.
In this study specifically, so it looked at the shortfall of meals. 805,878 low-income individuals saying that they missed 117 million meals every year. So that's the equivalent of each hungry person in New Mexico missing 12 meals every single month.
Absolutely.
Which is fairly profound, isn't it?
Absolutely. The Food Depot serves 9 counties in northern New Mexico, and out of our 9 counties, this number has been broken down even further to show that there are 16 million missing meals just in our 9 counties alone. Which is a tremendous amount. And a missing meal, if you think about it, is a kiddo whose family might be struggling, who goes to school Monday through Friday and might get free breakfast and free lunch, but when he goes home, he doesn't have dinner. That child is missing 5 meals just on the weekdays, and maybe missing more over the course of the weekend. So for families that have more profound financial challenges, you might be seeing a more significant number than just those 12 meals, but that's a pretty safe average.
So what is the role of the Food Depot?
We are the Food Bank of Northern New Mexico, which means we're the agency that collects food donations and financial contributions to purchase food with. And we distribute that food out to partner agencies, which are other nonprofits that have a food component to what they do. We currently have 135 different partners throughout Northern New Mexico, and those look like homeless shelters or shelters for battered families, after-school programs for children, emergency food pantries, soup kitchens.
That is, there are 135, you say, all around.
135 partners just for us right now, yes.
And I've seen in a lot of the literature here that there are references to food insecurity and hunger. So what is the difference?
Well, to some degree, that sort of breaks down to semantics. The USDA renamed hunger as food insecurity several years back, and that's measured by rates of food security, so how able a family is to meet their needs through a variety of sources, whether it be governmental support, their family income, and or emergency food assistance. So some individuals have low food security, some have very low food security. For those of us who work in food banking and experience through stories the lives of people who are hungry, food insecurity is hunger, just by a fancier, more convoluted name. And unfortunately, that tends to confuse people sometimes. But hunger is hunger is hunger. And a kid who's kind of food insecure versus who is very insecure is still a kid who is hungry. And that makes a huge difference to us.
And it makes a huge difference impact on the child and his ability. Can we talk a little bit about how hunger impacts children?
Children are the most vulnerable to experiencing hunger. It has long-lasting, lifelong effects on their development, on their potential. Typically, a child that we see in school that is experiencing hunger at home can pretty readily be identified through behavioral challenges, difficulty interacting with peers, developmental delay, whether that be physically or mentally. We tend to see them lagging behind their peers in terms of academic performance. And if that hunger is experienced regularly between the ages of birth and three, they find that from a brain development standpoint, it is almost irreversible.
And so I assume you have a lot of conversations with schools. I mean, you must be pretty close in
we
contact.
We do. The Food Depot operates the Food for Kids program, which is a backpack program. Kids in the Santa Fe public schools and in a few communities outside of Santa Fe, we're working on expanding that even further, get a backpack at the beginning of the school year. And every week that backpack is filled up with non-perishable snacks that are healthy and highly nutritious, with high nutritional impact, so good proteins, fresh fruits and veggies when we can. And they don't require any cooking, so the child is able to feed themselves without any adult intervention. And that helps to close that gap between food that they might not be getting for dinner or food that they might not be getting on the weekends.
That seems incredibly important. And are these children, are they proud to have their backpacks? Is there some kind of shame around receiving them?
That's part of why we've done it as a non-distinguishable backpack in the past, so that they usually can't be identified. We do find that the kids are very thankful and will very often take that bag home and share it with siblings who aren't school age. So they may not be getting the breakfast and the lunch at school. So the school age sibling will share it with younger siblings as well. But we do offer it in a very hidden kind of manner so that the kids don't have to be shamed by that at school.
So heartbreaking, all of this. And you were telling me that these numbers are even for 2011. They're not even necessarily accurate for this year, and the economic downturn and sequestration, everything is really making the situation even worse. So are you seeing more or less of a demand for food, and do you expect that to change?
Since 2008, we've actually seen our agencies have seen a 30% increase in the demand for emergency food assistance year over year. The numbers in this study particularly reflect 2011 because it just takes time to collect data and there's always a lag. So we don't know what the exact statistics look like for 2012, 2013, but we have not seen a let up in the demand at this point. New Mexico has had a much slower recovery than some other states. We have not bounced back as quickly, so we still see that there are really definite challenges for people and there's still definite hunger that is at a very high level. We're actually looking at some pretty serious threats to making that situation worse. Currently, SNAP budgets, which is food stamps by a new name, those usually last the average family about 2.3 weeks. And this week, right now, the House is debating a $20 billion cut in SNAP assistance. And that will absolutely change the face of demand that we see, 100%. We would expect demand to skyrocket if SNAP benefits are reduced.
And who are the people who you're seeing come through there? What is the demographic of somebody who is hungry, aside from all of these children?
Hunger is closer than you think. You would probably not be able to pick one hungry person from a not hungry person in the crowd. And considering that one in five adults in northern New Mexico are hungry and one in three children are hungry, there are hungry people all around you all the time, and you probably just don't know it. So the unfortunate part of that is that we serve all demographics, all genders, different income levels between very, very low and very low and low. So,
and it really can be the difference of, as you say, like a sickness or a broken down car or having to decide between medicine and food.
People make difficult choices every day. There's a lot of folks in New Mexico, especially northern New Mexico, where it's very rural, that are living paycheck to paycheck or something close to it. And one catastrophic event, you know, a roof failing, a car breaking down, someone having, you know, a pretty significant illness and being out of work for a month or two, or getting downsized out of their job or losing their home, can absolutely change the face of the economics of their family.
It is so frightening. So how can people get involved and what can we do?
You know, we always hear sometimes the people, oh, I don't really have enough money to help. And, you know, sometimes the sweetest thing that we see in the mail is $1 because you know that it took a lot for that person to give just that $1. And from a financial perspective, we always take financial contributions. We're able to really maximize your donation. So please know that 93 cents of every dollar you donate goes directly towards food acquisition and purchase. We can also turn $1 into four meals. So that $1 does make a big difference. We will always take donated food. We would love for you to host a food drive. If what you have is time, that's extremely valuable. we can always use volunteers. We're working on a rice bagging project right now. We were able to buy a lot of rice in bulk at 16 cents a pound, which is awesome, but we have 48,000 pounds of rice that needs to be bagged into one-pound bags. So we need your help. But even if it's something as simple as you're a gardener and you really like to piddle with that throughout the summer and grow your own food, we love that. Please bring us your surplus. Plant an extra row for us.
And you were mentioning that, I was saying, you know, the summer, it is so plentiful, but in fact, you get most of your donations during the winter months.
We do. The holiday season tends to bring out the charitable side in everyone, and we really have a lot of folks that host food drives and so forth, but we do see donations taper off during the spring and definitely throughout the summer. And we try to send the message that hunger doesn't take a vacation. The people that were hungry in December are still very hungry in June. And we would very much appreciate anyone that wants to host a food drive or just increase our food donations throughout this time of year.
Now, there was also, though, you said there's an age limit. As the mother of a six-year-old, there's an age limit for volunteering, correct?
We are trying to sort of hold the limit for general volunteerism through the summer at around 12. We are looking at having sort of a mommy and me or a daddy and me volunteer day where we could have younger children come in with their parent or guardian and do a little volunteer project that's more appropriate for their age and making sure that they're safe.
And also just to have children learning about this issue. I mean, I remember I was so profoundly impacted. You all had an insert in the New Mexican. I think it was a whole series done by Deborah Blusmeyer, which was just amazing. And I read it with my son. And I was so stunned. But just this idea, and these were personal narratives. It was beautifully written, really descriptive of how some of these people live without food. And, you know, so many of us are following so many different issues here about forest fires and politics and everything. And food safety, food security. I mean, this is not about GMO or not. This is about we don't have food to eat. How can this happen in this country?
It's really amazing. One of the most appalling statistics I think I've heard in the last 3 months is that America wastes approximately 50% of the food it produces.
Oh, God.
And when I look at how many people we know are hungry just in our community, it is astounding to me that we could be throwing away so much food. So food banks like the Food Depot are there to recover food that might otherwise get thrown out by grocery stores or plowed under by farmers. And the more we can spread the word that you can bring us that extra food so that we can get it in the bellies of people who are hungry, we got to change this just one person at a time.
And you've said you take any food, nutritious or not nutritious. I mean, preferably nutritious. But
when it comes to donations, we will accept absolutely anything. We don't make that choice for others. We just want to offer choice. But we do have a very high focus on nutrition. So out of the 4 million pounds of food that we distributed last year, about 51% of that was fruits and vegetables. So it's not just cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli. There's a lot of thought going into what we try to provide to our clients, but we will never turn food away.
And is there any kind of cooperation with restaurants here? I mean, speaking of food waste, you know, all of these places that deal with immense amounts of food.
Restaurants are a real challenge because of food safety issues. So when food has already been prepared, that gets very sticky. We've tried to create alliances between some of the restaurants and the soup kitchens and the hot meal programs that are in town so that they can work directly to rescue that. And the main purpose of that is that it closes the time gap between when it was prepared and how long it's been sitting. If we were to pick that up and act as a middle person in that, it would definitely put us in sort of a hazard. So we focus more on food that comes from grocery stores and from other major retailers that are pulling something off their shelf because maybe it's not pretty.
Right.
Or maybe it's a little too close to its expiration date.
The box is dented, something
exactly.
Like this. And where do you get the majority of your funding?
We really rely on individuals. So we get the majority of our funding from individuals, foundations, and businesses. And we have a tremendous amount of community support, which we're very, very thankful for. And we just can't say enough how we couldn't do the work we do if it wasn't for that support.
And you all, now you are not the ones who give out food, but you are partnering with a place that actually gives out a bag of food every Thursday morning, I think. Is this the food pantry?
Yeah, we work with several food pantries in Santa Fe. One of them is Food for Santa Fe. They give out bags on Thursday mornings between 6 and 9. Over on Siler Road, and that is a drive-through food pantry. They give out about 900 bags a week. But we also... 900 bags, and it goes fast.
So it's really first come, first serve.
Absolutely. So they do 900 bags, and if if that means that if they're gone by 7 a.m., then that's when they're done. So, but
and,
we work
and
with
what's
about,
in these bags? I'm sorry.
Oh, they have a variety of food. They have eggs, usually a little bit of fresh produce, you know, some canned food, pastas, whatever happens to be available. So we work with about 60 different agencies in Santa Fe, though, and several of them are food pantries similar to this one.
And so people could find all of this information. If you're not necessarily in Santa Fe, if you're further north, you have all of this information on your website?
All the information is on our website. There's a link for how to find help, and we have a very exhaustive list of all the different food pantries, the days and times they operate, when the hot meal programs operate. And we really encourage people to develop a relationship at a single pantry and just go there regularly so that they can receive as much assistance as possible.
And can you tell us from these studies some of the counties in New Mexico or in the north that might be the most impacted?
You know, rural communities have a really hard time, so their percentage doesn't necessarily reflect as the direness of the situation because there's such a gap between how far away food is maybe from where they live. But Colfax County is definitely up at the top at 17%, Mora County at 18.2%, Taos County at 17.7%, and that's a pretty...
Taos?
That's a really common misnomer that Taos doesn't have a problem. They have a very high rate of food insecurity in Taos, and there's a pretty significant gap between what our perception is and what the reality is.
And so you would ship the food up there, or would you encourage farmers also to grow extra food in that area to provide?
We do a little bit of both. We have several agencies that we're partnered with up in Taos. We deliver about 25% of the food that we distribute every year goes to Taos County.
25%?
25%. We distribute a tremendous amount of food up there, and the pantries are very busy trying to meet the need that is there. So we definitely want people to know that we're way beyond Santa Fe. This isn't just about feeding Santa Fe. It's about feeding northern New Mexico.
And how is Santa Fe? How is the hunger here?
The hunger in Santa Fe County is 14.9%, but we have a higher population, so you see a greater density of people who need assistance.
And you just wouldn't think that with this and this kind of view of a fairly wealthy community here.
Absolutely. We've had many, many people say, there's no hunger in my community. There's no hunger here. Or people from outside say, we're not going to give money to Santa Fe. You guys aren't hungry. That's ridiculous. And the truth is we serve way beyond Santa Fe. And the truth is also that there very much are hungry people in Santa Fe.
And some of the other populations that have lower incidences, Los Alamos, Catron. It says here they actually have no missing meals, according to the study. Is that correct?
That's complicated.
Okay. So maybe it's negligible statistically speaking.
Yeah. It might not be statistically significant. So it really depends on, you know, populations and where they're accessing food and how the study was able to capture true data in an area.
And so you also mentioned that there is a new program that you all are considering about diapers.
Yes, we're actually working with the Brindle Foundation to launch the Diaper Bank. And it's an interesting thing when you look at hunger. There's really complicated economic issues at work. And we've operated the infant supply program for a long time to help give supplemental materials to families that are in need. And basically it's all about just freeing up money in the budget for food. So the Diaper Bank focus is around a couple of things. One, that families that want to be able to put their child in daycare have to have access to disposable diapers or they can't. So if you need someone to be working to bring more money into the family, you have to have access to disposable diapers. But that can cost you $160 to $200 a month.
Absolutely.
So that's a challenge also. So what we're trying to do is bridge that gap so that we can enable people to handle their own economic future by being able to go to work and be at work and bring in a little extra income for their families and hopefully, you know, grow out of an economic deprivation situation.
So it's just taking one more factor out of it. If you have to decide between food and diapers, then you can at least have that taken care of.
Exactly. And that will, you know, WIC doesn't cover the cost of diapers. So there's not really a safeguard to help you get into diapers if you are having a financial challenge. So we just want to eliminate another barrier and make it a little more possible for people to do better for themselves and their families.
That's such good work. Now, are you being supported by the state, and how is state government attacking this problem as well?
Well, the city was gracious enough to grant us the land that we built our new facility on.
Very nice. That's
amazing. It was a wonderful gift, but times have been hard for governments as well, and there's not been really significant money at the city, state, or county level to assist with these types of programs, less than 5% of our total operating budget comes from city or other governmental sources. So we don't think that that will be like that forever. We just know it's been really tough times, and we have really great relationships with a lot of different representatives, and we get a lot of support for that. And we're sure that as the economic tide turns, that we're going to be able to get a little more assistance as well.
And Susanna speaks a lot about child safety and child protection. Can she step in and say, no, we won't be cutting this food program here? Or is there any room for that?
Everybody who can be a voice for the food depot and for childhood hunger and hunger in general is a voice that is necessary. So right now we really need people to push at the legislative end, call your representative, whether that be Ben Ray Lujan, for most of the people that are probably listening today. Send a little email, take 2 minutes to make a phone call and tell them how important SNAP benefits are to, you know, we're already at the worst ranking in the nation. If they cut SNAP benefits, the rate is going to go sky high. So that makes a huge difference. But always contact your legislators and your representatives and your governor and tell them how important and how real this issue is. And we just need 1,000 voices saying the same thing.
Or more than 1,000.
Or more than 1,000.
Absolutely. And come and help at the food depot. Do community work, really will make you feel better, and it will certainly help out. And the work you all do is just incredible. So
thank you
so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we're going to have a quick update from City Councilor Patty Bechet about her bill to ban large capacity magazines in Santa Fe. That bill will be voted on next Wednesday night at the City Council meeting. Jill, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.